You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And here's what's on tap for this hour. We're about to do Medal of Honor Monday. Then I'm going to blast Team DeSantis, the same I just blasted Trump. And then I'm going to tell you about something I'm really, really terrible at that happened this weekend. And it's very, very frustrating. I don't know why, but I'm going to discuss lots this hour. But let's do, you know what time it is. Every single Monday at this exact time, we do Medal of Honor Monday. It's what we do. We print off a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. And we take requests. Remember, your love, your hate, your death threats. I'm sure there'll be lots of all those after tonight's show. Air Ask Dr. Jesse questions can all be emailed to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Why can't I talk? jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we got this one. I actually read it last week. I'm just going to read the end of it again. On a serious note, do you know about Red Patcher Alexander Bonnieman Jr., that received the Medal of Honor in the South Pacific on November of 1943. Bonnieman is an example of a true shore party Marine, and myself and all other Red Patchers out there are requesting you read this one. Thanks, brother. Semper Fi and let the bar eat. I'll give you the bar after I'm done with this. Now let me clarify a couple things that people may not understand. One, what's a Red Patcher? He referenced a Red Patcher. Here's something that's difficult to understand, and actually this is going to tie right into this story of how this guy earned his Medal of Honor. Amphibious operations are very, very, very difficult now and always. They're very, very difficult when you're trying to attack from the sea onto land. It's difficult. For a variety of reasons, but let me just try to explain a couple different things. One, if I'm on land, I'm steady. I'm locked in. I'm steady. I'm probably fortified, concrete, rebar, sandbags. I'm steady. You coming in on whatever floating device you're coming in on are anything but steady. You're bouncing up and down, back and forth, weird currents moving all over the place. You also have no cover at all. There's not a big rock sticking out of the ocean for everyone to huddle behind. And even if there is, the enemy will have figured it out and probably start dropping artillery shells on you because he's pre-sighted them there. Oh, but that's just the beginning. The problems seem to only get worse once you get to shore. Because he's expecting you to get to shore, where you get to shore, and he's going to try to kill you once you get to the shore. Oh, but wait, there's more. Once you get to the shore, you're physically a Marine. You get to the shore. Good, good, good. Now you have to fight. You're with all your buddies on the shore. But you also need things to fight. Do you know, as a Marine, I would carry, gosh, I'm thinking back. I don't want to mess this up. I believe I would carry six 30-round magazines as a Marine. And already that's heavy. You could be like, I'll carry more. Remember, I'm a human being. I'm not a machine. I'm not a robot. I can only carry so much before I'll wear out. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, I need some ammo. Someone's got to bring me some ammo. Lots of it. Boxes of it. Well, I'm one Marine. What if there's 1,000 in the same situation? Where's my ammo coming from? But wait, there's more. Where are my bandages coming from? People are getting shot and blown up all over the place. They're dying. I need plasma. I need bandages. I need, where's that coming from? I can only carry one, max two kits on my body to patch someone up. Then I'm out. How many IVs can I carry? Oh, but wait, there's more than that. I'm thirsty. I'm a human being. My body's made of water. I have to drink tons of it. Where's my water? Are you starting to understand? I'm a Marine. I forget what the number was. I'm an infantry Marine, but I think it was 7 or 8. The average infantry Marine needs 7 or 8 support people working in various roles to make sure he can stay combat effective. Without them, you don't get them. So what is this red patcher thing? If you are a red patcher, and we're about to go into this, I'm probably going to go too long and I'll have to go into the next segment, but oh well, I don't care. If you were a red patcher, well, let me tell you the story how it started. Let's do this. At Guadalcanal, which is really the first, it's really the first amphibious landing in the Pacific where we were sent the Marines over and we're starting to take back islands. What happened was, remember, amphibious operations are very new at this time, especially getting modern. What happened was they ran all these guys onto the shore and then you're doing all this fighting, but battle is extremely confusing. Very, very, very confusing. It's loud. There are things going off. When you're dealing with something like Guadalcanal, people will be dying. You can't hear. You know that's something they don't tell you, you don't think about? You don't think about it because in the movies, when you look at it, you can make out what people are saying. You see the gruff sergeant turn around and say, "Charge the beach with your two guys." In real life, you're half deaf from the shots you've taken out of your gun, let alone the rounds blowing up all around you. He can turn and shout in his gruffest voice all he wants. He better be about a foot away from me or I don't have any idea what he's freaking saying to me, let alone where my friends are as we're getting shot to Swiss cheese as we land on the beaches. My friends are going to scatter. Am I going to stay with my platoon? When I land on the beach and I watch my buddy get his head vaporized beside me, no, I'm going to go ahead and locate the closest thing to hide behind for a minute. And am I going to end up with my unit when I get in there? No. What happened was they ended up grabbing a bunch of support people. This guy called them shore party Marines. Support people whose job it was to be the, set up an airfield. Or set up logistical stations, set up incredibly important support personnel. They ended up getting swept up with the other infantry Marines at Guadalcanal and sent inland. Hey, congratulations, go fight. No, but I'm just supposed to run the heavy equipment. Yep, here's a rifle. Have a good one. Go fight. You're in the infantry now. They started giving them patches so they could more clearly and easily figure out who was who. If you were a red patcher, they slap the red patch on you to say, hey, this is support personnel. Could you kindly not incorporate him into your infantry platoon and have him out there charging machine gun nests? That is what a red patcher is. And it's also important for this reason. I wanted to read this for this reason, and I'm going to get to his Medal of Honor citation here in just a second. Obviously, when you're in the infantry, we've talked about this very frankly on the show before, you think pretty highly of yourself, especially because everyone's there to support you, right? But support personnel, they really are freaking everything, man. That they're critical to you. They are critical. You don't go on without them. And remember this. Yes, they're Marines, and every Marine is a rifleman, as the saying goes. And the same thing applies, you know, in the Army and in the lesser services like Navy and Air Force. But in all seriousness, they don't have close to the same level of training that you do as an infantryman because they have a different job, and they shouldn't have a different level of training. If I'm in the infantry, and I was, my job, my 9 to 5, although the hours are a little different, my job every day is training for infantry things. Shooting, patrolling, it's all the things that come with being in the infantry. From shooting guns to patching up buddies to throwing grenades to shooting mortars to calling in to everything. My every day is training to do that. Well, that's not there every day. They have a different job. There every day is building things, logistical things. They're not out there at every shoot I'm in. So when you take somebody like this guy, Alexander Bonnieman Jr., you've taken a guy who is, he's not trained for this. I want you to understand what he's about to do. He can shoot a gun. He's not some wuss. I get it. He's a Marine and I get it. Dude, he's not trained for this. He's not made for this. And that brings us to Tarawa. Tarawa is something people don't know a lot about. I think it's largely forgotten because at the time they wanted everyone to forget. It was one of the real early amphibious landings and it was just a disaster. We didn't quite understand currents and things. As I tell you the story of Alexander Bonnieman Jr., I want you to understand that Marines were getting cut down in the water as they were wading into the beach. Imagine wading into the beach with a rifle held over your head while a Japanese machine gun nest shoots all your friends. There are stories of people who would tie dead bodies out at sea and lay on them at Tarawa waiting to have a rescue because everyone in their unit died. That kind of a thing. Now are you ready for it? Now you're set up and ready for it. Now we'll go into that. We'll get back to politics. You want to shoot like a Marine? Practice like a Marine. Why do you think Marines are so famous for how they shoot? I promise it's not just because of the old Eagle Globe and Anchor they give you when you graduate boot camp. Marines shoot well because Marines practice a lot. People ask me why I can shoot, and I'm not some expert marksman. I can shoot, though. Why? Well, they made me do it. Round after round after round, endlessly. That's why I want you to get a Mantis X for yourself. Because it allows you to practice as much as you want in the comfort of your home, in your studio, in your one-bedroom apartment. It's dry fire practice. The Marines are using it. The Green Berets are using it. Mantis X. You want to use the thing the Green Berets are using? Go to MantisX.com and get one today. Get ready. MantisX.com. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Why? Well, here's why.
We're changing people's lives.
Did you hear Joe Biden today? No, we'll get to the Medal of Honor thing. Joe Biden killing it out there.
I'm a little bit worried. We were in here watching you, and the T-shirt, when we were in, you're on camera, the T-shirt, isn't that Senator Coons? What the hell you been doing, Coons? Yeah, I don't know, man. Anyway.
All right, quit. It's time, without further ado, here is the Medal of Honor citation for a one Alexander Bonnieman Jr., also known as Sandy.
Ready? Aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
This took place from November 22nd to 20, or for November 20th to 22nd, 1943. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as executive officer of the 2nd Battalion Shore Party, 8th Marines, 2nd Marine Division, during the assault against enemy Japanese-held Tarawa in the Gilbert Islands on the 20th to the 22nd of November 1943. Acting on his own initiative when assault troops were pinned down at the far end of Betty O Pier by the overwhelming fire of Japanese shore batteries, 1st Lieutenant Bonnieman repeatedly defied the blasting fury of enemy bombardment to organize and lead the besieged men over the long, open pier to the beach and then, voluntarily obtaining flamethrowers and demolitions, organized his pioneer shore party into assault demolitionists and directed the blowing of several hostile installations before the close of D-Day. Determined to effect an opening in the enemy's strongly organized defense line the following day, he voluntarily crawled along approximately 40 yards forward of our lines and placed demolitions in the entrance of a large Japanese emplacement as the initial move in his planned attack against the heavily garrisoned bomb-proof installation, which was stubbornly resisting despite the destruction early in the action of a large number of Japanese who had been inflicting heavy casualties on our forces and holding up our advance. Withdrawing only to replenish his ammunition, he led his men in a renewed assault, fearlessly exposing himself to the merciless slash of hostile fire as he stormed the formidable bastion, directed the placement of demolition charges in both entrances, and seized the top of the bomb-proof position, flushing more than 100 of the enemy who were instantly cut down and effecting the annihilation of approximately 150 troops inside the emplacement. Assailed by additional Japanese after he gained his objective, he made a heroic stand on the edge of the structure, defending his strategic position with indomitable determination in the face of the desperate charge and killing three of the enemy before he fell mortally wounded. By his dauntless fighting spirit, unrelenting aggressiveness, and forceful leadership throughout 3 days of unremitting violent battle, First Lieutenant Bonnieman had inspired his men to heroic effort, enabling them to beat off the counterattack and break back the hostile resistance in that sector for an immediate gain of 400 yards with no further casualties to our forces in this zone. And he gallantly gave his life for his country. Yes, he sure did. Friggin' Shore Party Marine out there like Audie Murphy. Gosh, what a daggone beast. All right, let's get to, you know what? It's time to get to the DeSantis thing. I got this email. Fellow Leatherneck, what day, should DeSantis refuse to extradite Trump because of this frivolous lawsuit? My opinion is it would be a political play that would slingshot DeSantis to take the torch from Trump in 2028 at the very least. Semper Fi, he's a fellow OIF man. How about that? Semper Fi, my brother. Okay, look, let's have a talk about DeSantis, what I think he should do, shouldn't do, what I think he should have done versus what he actually did, because DeSantis put out a statement today about this sham Trump indictment arrest that's coming in New York City, and I'm gonna play it for you in its entirety, all right? And I'm gonna give you my thoughts on it, and then I'm gonna tell you why I suck at something, and we'll move on to many other things out there, including something going on with China and Russia we should probably be paying more attention to. But let's talk about pillows first. Let's discuss the greatness of the MyPillow 2.0. I find it particularly great because I run hot. I run hot at all times. I am always hot. I feel like I'm always on the verge of starting to sweat, and I don't want to act like I have a sweating problem. When you meet me, I won't be sweating, but I wake up hot sometimes. Does that ever happen to you? It always happens to me, especially because the wife keeps it too hot. Anyway, MyPillows 2.0 has temperature regulating thread in it, so you already get the MyPillow feel that you've had before, only now I don't wake up with ear sweat anymore. They're buy one, get one free right now. Buy one, get one free. You have to go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, and use the promo code Jesse. That'll get you a MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free. All right? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Or you can call 800-845-0544. Heavy D, Team DeSantis. Let's have a chat.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and it's been a rambunctious week. I already blasted one of the presidential candidates. It's time to get the other one. The only two that matter, by the way, Trump and DeSantis. I already told you I have a real issue with Trump calling for people to protest, because you call for someone to protest, they're going to interpret that, some of them, as protests in a blue area. And they're going to get thrown in a dark hole for the rest of their lives, because we don't have a constitutional nation in those areas anymore. They're gone. You're calling for your people to suffer. Now, as Trump was putting out all kinds of public statements, and everyone on his team, all his paid people, were putting out statements about the coming arrest, there was all kinds of chatter for Heavy D to make a statement. Team Trump spent the entire... Where's Ron DeSantis? Why hasn't Ron DeSantis done something? What, Ron DeSantis hasn't even put out a statement. Where's Ron DeSantis? Which was very smart from Team Trump. You know why it was smart from Team Trump? I'm going to play you the entirety of the message. And I'll play you why it was smart from Team Trump. And this is why I have been a champion of a vicious primary between those two for a long time, because I think this is a huge error from Team DeSantis. And I'll play you the whole thing. And I'll explain why.
So I've seen rumors swirl. I have not seen any facts yet. And so I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. The Manhattan district attorney is a Soros-funded prosecutor. And so... he, like other Soros-funded prosecutors, they weaponize their office to impose a political agenda on society at the expense of the rule of law and public safety. He has downgraded over 50% of the felonies to misdemeanors. He says he doesn't want to even have jail time for the vast, vast majority of crimes. And what we've seen in Manhattan is we've seen the crime rate go up, and we've seen citizens become less safe. And so you're talking about this situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to...
I'll let him finish here, but that was... Okay, that part of the statement from the beginning to that part right there wasn't bad. Even snuck in a little jab at Trump there in the end. That was fine. But this whole thing was a mistake. He goes on to say this.
Is that if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years ago, you know, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda and weaponizing the office. And I think that that's fundamentally wrong.
We cut off the end. Okay, all right. I didn't know that we had cut off the end of the audio, because the other part of it, the end part of it, is the part that's burning him a little bit today. He goes on for another 30, 45 seconds. I guess the soundboard friggin' screwed up here. But he goes on to say, essentially, I'm focusing on Florida. Kind of gives a there are bigger fish to fry thing. And as soon as he came out and said that, Trump's people have spent the entire day savaging Ron DeSantis. Oh, there are bigger fish to fry? Bigger fish to fry than weaponization the justice system? Bigger fish to fry? And you know what? Heavy D, Team DeSantis, this is why you need a primary too. It's not just Trump who needs it. You need it too. Why did you make any statement at all? Why did you make any statement at all? You're in a heated, vicious primary with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is going to give it to you both barrels. You're going to give it to him both barrels. He's been calling you a meatball and a sanctimonious, and has thrown rhino. He's thrown simp. He's thrown every word at you. Why would you make any statement of any kind? And here's what I mean. This is a rule in politics, and I want you to always keep this in mind. In fact, this is probably just a great rule for life in general, but it's a great rule in politics. You know what? Here, I'll give you a great example. Happened to me on Friday. Because I do this for a living now, not that I'm important, because I do radio and TV now, anyone with a cause, a political cause on the right, well, they'll reach out to us at the show because they want verbal backing, vocal backing, public backing for this or that. Hey, I'm starting this group to save puppies. I'm starting this group to club baby seals. Hey, Jesse, would you speak out on behalf of it? Would you speak out on behalf of this? Or would you speak out in defense of something or against something? Had somebody actually I knew, not super close, but an acquaintance I knew on Friday night after the show, reach out about something happening locally somewhere. I'm not going to get into the details of it. Said, hey, Jesse, I'm making a public statement on this. You make a public statement on it too. We'll get together and we'll do this. I didn't say no, by the way. I just ignored the text message like I ignore most text messages. But why? Well, I don't know anything about this case. What if I turn out to be wrong? What if I jump in and start denouncing something? That's one. Two, you should automatically, if you're in politics, running for office in office, you should automatically assume anyone calling for you to denounce something or put out a statement on something has bad intentions towards you. I don't think I have ever once in my lifetime seen a call for someone to denounce something that had good intentions. Don't you? How many times have you seen Republicans do this? How many times have you seen Republicans denounce white supremacy? because the media demands it. The media who hates them. Ah, this Republican's a worthless piece of trash. He smells like dog poop. Hey, Republican, do you denounce white supremacy? And of course, the Republican every time, well, yes, yes, of course. Of course, it's very, very bad. A Republican has to denounce this or denounce that. And every time they do it, they're walking into a trap. And Team Trump, to their credit, set up a beautiful trap for Team DeSantis, and he went strolling right into it. They wasted 24 hours trying to attach DeSantis to a story that was about Donald Trump and Alvin Bragg. Denounce it! Denounce it! Why won't you announce it? I bet you'd stand with Alvin Bragg. Denounce it! Denounce it! DeSantis lasted 24 hours, and he's out there denouncing it, making statements. And of course, the statement he made, for some reason we didn't have the end of it, of course, ended up sounding kind of like he didn't think it was that big of a deal. And now, what's Team Trump spent the day doing? They know they're in a primary. Apparently, DeSantis doesn't know he's in a primary, even though he is. They spent the day savaging him for it. Oh, look at the rhino. Doesn't care about the weaponized justice system. What a rhino. Why did you answer that question? Well, Jesse, the reporter asked him a question. The reporters are all your enemies. They're all your enemies. They're your mortal enemies. They're trying to destroy you. Why would you answer that question? That was an amateur rookie mistake. And that's exactly why both these guys need a primary. Both of them. Hopefully, Team DeSantis is aware of this now. It allowed Team Trump to attach him to a story that has nothing to do with him at all. But they attached him to it, and now he's involved. This will all be forgotten, by the way, in a month or two, but hopefully, a good lesson learned. Now, the question I was asked, what should Heavy D do about it? Well, let's have a talk about that. We'll talk about it in a second. Let's have a talk about your garbage cell phone company. I don't want you to take my word for it. Here's what I want you to do. Whether you have Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I want you to do a little experiment here. I want you to go Google the name of your cell phone company. Google just that name, Verizon and Pride Month. Tell me what you see. And tell me, are you happy to be funding that with your money? Because you are. Those ads you see, those causes, all paid for by you. Now do the same thing with Pure Talk. Tell me what you see. You see a patriotic company that shares your values. Save yourself a fortune. They're on the same 5G network as one of the big guys. And you can save a fortune. My bill got cut in half, and I can feel good about paying my cell phone bill. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I couldn't cut the song off before we get to that part where we could all pump our fists, Chris and Jukebox Hero, and we're going to talk about me being bad at something, and then we'll get back to politics in a minute. I do want to play this back part, because we grabbed it, of DeSantis' statement that we didn't play, the party's catching heat for. I don't know that the heat is justified, but that's not the point. The point is you're dealing with a strategy here. There are things that we all have to separate. DeSantis, you, me, Trump, all of us, our personal feelings about things and our campaign strategy things. Dude, you're in a heated primary with Trump. They goaded you for a day into saying something, and then you finished up with this.
And I think that that's fundamentally wrong. I also think it's important to point out when you're talking about these Soros-funded prosecutors, yes, they may do a high-profile politicized prosecution, and that's bad, but the real victims are ordinary New Yorkers, ordinary Americans in all these different jurisdictions that they get victimized every day because of the reckless political agenda that these Soros DAs bring to their job. They ignore crime and they empower criminals, and that hurts people, hurts a lot of people every single day. These Soros district attorneys are a menace to society. And I'm just glad that I'm the only governor in the country that's actually removed one from office during my tenure.
Okay, and he did, and that's good. And I get a lot of DeSantis people saying that's good and good work and whatnot. Chris, I still think we missed the back half of that whole thing, by the way, but it doesn't matter. It's okay. It's fine. The statement itself was fine. It was just you shouldn't have made a statement at all. You got set up. Team Trump set you up. Then you made a statement, and now they're crucifying you for your statement. All of them. They all are. You got to wake up. These are the lessons you learn out there. All right? All right. Now, there's something. You have anything you don't like about yourself or something maybe you wish you were better at than you currently are? Do you have anything like that in your life? I have something like that. And I know you may find that shocking because everyone thinks I'm cocky, which is ridiculous. But there's something that I'm really, really bad at, and it eats at me. And we'll get back to politics and China and all these other things. Have you ever done any escape rooms? Chris, have you ever done an escape room? You've never done one? Where's Michael? Has Michael ever done one? Michael hasn't done one either. You losers. Anyway, an escape room, I just assumed everyone knew what they were, but apparently I'm the whitest person on this show, so let me explain. An escape room is, this has become a trend now in society where people will set these up, and they could be super fancy and official, or they can be very, very basic, and I've done both. The scenario is this. You show up, it's all set up for you, it's fun, you show up with family or friends, and you walk in this room, and they lock you in a room, and then it's basically problem solving where you have to look for clues and find clues that will lead you into other clues. And once you figure out this clue, then you'll walk over and it'll give you the code for this safe if you figured it out right. And you open up this safe and that'll give you more clues that'll lead you to something else. And look, I've done these so fancy. We did one here in Houston where if you figure out one certain portion of this and press the right code, part of the wall will open up and you'll go back into a secret cave. Oh, it was cool, Chris. It was very cool. And they have them all different kinds, right? I want to make clear all different kinds of these things, but it's fun and you laugh and it's problem solving. I can't do it. I don't know why I can't do it. And I want to be clear that I took my sons this weekend. The wife's still recovering from surgery and we were sitting around. We were bored and we found one of these escape rooms and it was really well done and it was fun. But me and the boys were going and we were trying to get ourselves fired up the whole way. We're saying, hey, this is the time. We're going to do it this time. I can feel it this time. And we got in there and it was just freaking impossible. And I've done these things a lot and now I seek them out. Because I can't do them and I feel so stupid. And I see other people and I know other people, many people who go and they solve everyone. It's kind of a given to them that they'll knock it out and they'll solve it and they'll figure it out. And I need to be clear that it's not just that I've never done one. I've never finished one, I should say. I've never come close. It's not as if we were, oh, it was just one more clue and we had this one. I know that I don't have a high IQ, and maybe that's it. Maybe it's a what, Chris? Oh, you know what? We didn't bring the wife this time, and I'll tell you, me and the boys, we were pretty fired up to try to beat this one without her there, because then, as we would do, we'd go home and rub it in her face, and we'd blame her for all the other ones we failed on. But she's come with us previously, and she can't do it either. None of us can do it. None of us could do it. And I have two different sons, and they're very different from each other. They're night and day different from each other. Totally different skill sets with what God gave them and what he didn't give them. Neither of them can do it. They both suck. I'll tell you, my oldest is the best in the house, but he's nothing to write home about either. Why can't we do this? I want to know. You know what? Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you have a theory why the Kellys cannot do escape rooms, I want to know. Because I want to be good at this. And now, because I have this sense of competition that can get really unhealthy inside of me, now I seek them out everywhere. Because I need to conquer this. I need to climb this mountain. I'm tired of feeling low like this, Chris. I'm tired of feeling stupid. But I can't do it. And I'm not in there screwing off. I'm telling you, I'm well rested. I made sure I had something like 9 hours of sleep the night before this one. I rested trying to conquer this one. I was ready, focused. And we couldn't do it. No, Chris, it wasn't. I can't blame it on some communists running the place and recognizing me. That's not it. This young lady had no idea who I was when I walked in that place. Trust me. Nobody can fake it. Communists and fans can't fake it. I see you when you recognize me, by the way. You might as well just come up and say hi. I see you. I appreciate you, how polite you are. Just come say hi. I like saying hi to you. All right. A bakery got shut down, and it's fantastic news, and I'm proud of you. Want to talk about that? Want to talk about something good? We'll do that. We'll make fun of Joe. We'll go all kinds of different directions. Lighten up the last hour. It's been heavy out here. You know, it's not light. Getting stabbed. I've never been stabbed before, but I've been told that it's some of the worst pain ever. So if you run into somebody today as you're out and about, and he has a knife in his hands, just a rusty knife, and he wants to plunge it into your ribs, do you think that you'll be able to stop that person from plunging that rusty knife into your ribs? Are you 100% sure? Can your daughter stop them? Can your wife, your husband, your father? If the answer to that question is no, please go pick up a hero gun, non-lethal gun, shoots pepper balls, or a hero arrow, shoots pepper gel. This thing can save your life. It will stop somebody very, very bad. The hero arrow is so small, it fits in your little purse, ladies, even your little fancy schmancy purse I see you dimes wearing. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.